Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and this is 1 Timothy chapter 1. And so what I do is parallel with a commentary along with the King James Version, so we'll begin now. But first, let's go up to the throne of the Lord to ask him to bless the service. Heavenly Father, our Lord and God, open the windows of heaven and pour out your spiritual benediction upon this service. Put your words in my mouth, Lord, and open every heart to receive them, every mind. And Lord, let everyone concentrate that they must receive your word in their mind as well, because this is the battleground, our mind. This is what Satan is hitting all day long, and we need to fortify our minds. So open up the mind, Lord, and the spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus, that we receive everything that you prepared for us today in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's go. Read my exhortation here, which is three pages.
Okay. Paul and Timothy had a bonding special ministry together. Timothy came to his faith in Christ as a result of the ministry of Paul, and he quickly joined the apostles traveling with...
Okay, in other words, Paul is the one that won him to the Lord.
Timothy came to his faith in Christ as a result of the ministry of Paul, and he quickly joined the apostles' traveling witnessing team. In their traveling, they became as close to each other as father and son. This is how Timothy matured quickly in faith.
Right, when people are around the elders, there is a tendency for them to pick up more of the things from the Spirit than there would be if they were elsewhere, because during the day there are so many things that happen in the church that the people that are in this office are receiving things a lot faster than anyone would be out in around the different churches in the country or throughout the world. And that's the way it was when Timothy was the traveling companion with Paul. Okay, then what?
Paul sent him to lead the church in Ephesus.
Yes, he was a strong Christian, and so he sent him to the Ephesians. Then what?
Being a new minister, Timothy faced many challenges as well as many problems.
He's a young minister, too. And he faced what?
Many challenges.
Yeah, there's all kinds of challenges all day long. People that are in this office will tell you, and people that have been around me for years will tell you that there are so many different new challenges happening every day. And different trials and different tests, and you have to be instant in season and out of season. You never know when something's going to happen. That's the out of season things. And you just have to be walking in the Spirit. But really, you've got to have the experience as well. Okay, then what?
Being a new minister, Timothy faced many challenges.
A young minister. Okay, then what?
Timothy faced many challenges as well as many problems. This letter was meant to counsel and encourage him.
Yeah, this letter from Paul was meant to give him counsel on how to run that church, because he didn't just turn it over to Timothy. He sent him there to be in charge, but Paul was over him. All right, then what?
Even though the letter is a personal letter to Timothy, Paul has added a wealth of advice about how Timothy should deal with problems in the church.
Right, so it's a lot of tremendous amount of wealth, because there were a lot of people that were coming around teaching false doctrine, and Timothy hated it, and so Paul was giving him some advice on it, and we'll hear that later in the chapter. Then what?
He also gave him a clear vision of what the Christian church should be like.
Yeah, what you know what a Christian church should be like? How it should be run? Well, we've tried for years, and we're going to keep trying to get it to where it is the way that the Lord has dictated for us, commanded for us to run a church, a Christian church. And there's a definite order, and Paul tells of it some of the things in this chapter and in this letter. Okay, go ahead.
For example, every church should and must have sound spiritual teaching.
Mm-hmm. If that isn't there, then it's not a church of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And you shouldn't be in it. Then what else?
Faithful worship.
Then number two, you must have faithful worship. The people in the church must be faithful worshipers. They must be calling on God every day, and all the day long. Then what?
Strong leadership.
Right, it has to have strong leadership, demanding leadership, demanding the things be done as God has commanded them to be done. Then what?
Dedication to God's word.
Yeah, they have to be dedicated to God's word to have a good, a real Christian church. Then what?
And ministries in the church that are caring.
Different caring ministries in the church. Because we live in a community and go on, I've written it.
These characteristics are what make a church community a place of redemption and healing.
Right, it is. Now we have we're sitting in the midst, and in the midst of us is also a secular community, and we're there to witness to them. But this is a church community. All right, then what?
Maturity in Jesus is a long-term process.
Yes, it takes a long time to mature in the Lord. A long time. Then what?
In our search for wholeness, we need a safe, nurturing environment in which we can...
Right. Do you people feel safe in this church?
Amen.
Do you feel it's a nurturing environment?
Yes.
Okay, and that there's strong leadership?
Amen.
Demanding leadership?
Amen.
Demand to things be done as the Lord says? Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and then it's a... Okay, keep going.
In our search for wholeness, we need a safe, nurturing environment in which we can set things...
If you want to become whole. Everybody's searching to become whole. In other words, completely mature in the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Build up with such faith in Christ, the Word, that you're able to do all the things that the Lord said that we are to do and can do when we are a believer. These signs shall follow those who believe. So we've got to start seeing more and more signs. Amen?
Amen.
Right, then what?
In our search for wholeness, we need a safe, nurturing environment in which we can set things straight and build a new life for ourselves.
Right. In other words, we become renewed more and more every day. Amen?
Amen.
And so it's more and more life every day, a new life every day. But it's a built-up life in Christ. It's more and more of we learn... And we mature in this process of becoming whole in Christ. We mature and by our faith. Okay, then what else?
Spirit-filled people who have a burden for this work as a professional for the Lord are in this respect limited. The church is to be a long-time place for care and support.
Yeah, you're supposed to be there for care and support until the day you die. Amen?
Amen.
And if Christians don't care about one another, then you're not a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
A healthy church is the place for this care and support. A true church provides loving accountability like the church described in this letter. The church should and must be a caring hospital, a soul clinic for the hurting, a place where the old wound can be healed and lives can be rebuilt. We all need a healthy church family to help all of us in the long-term process of becoming fully mature in Christ.
Okay, now, Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, okay?
Yes, the King James?
Yes.
Okay. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Yeah, Jesus is our hope. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
If Jesus didn't die, then we have no hope whatsoever. Amen. He died, and if he didn't resurrect and ascend into heaven, now we have this great hope. So Jesus is our great hope, Paul said, and the Holy Spirit says. Then what?
Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, now, that's the salutation. Now, go ahead with mine.
This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God our Savior and by Christ Jesus our hope. It is written to Timothy, my true child in the faith. May God, our Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord, give you power, mercy, and peace.
Yeah, I always put instead of grace, power, because that's what the Bible says. The original, okay? By God's power. Amen. May God give you more power. And the power comes from faith. Amen?
Amen.
Because we can receive... let no man believe that they're going to receive anything from the Lord except by faith. Amen?
Amen.
He's talking, Paul is paralleling the faith against versus the law. So it's not by the law or any works, it's by faith. Amen?
Amen.
To do the works of the Lord. Okay? Not your works, but the Lord's works. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit's work. Okay? God is the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit. Okay, then what?
King James?
Yes, please.
As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do.
Okay, so now read that.
Condemns false teachings. When I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those who are teaching wrong doctrine. Don't give place to fables or to endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do that. Don't let the people spend time in endless speculations over myths and spiritual pedigrees, for these things only cause argument. They don't help people live a life of faith in God.
Yeah, they don't help you walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm.
Okay, read that in my commentary.
The purpose of my letter is that all the Christians there would be filled with love, which comes from a pure heart, a clear, clean conscience, and true faith that is sincere. But some teachers have missed this entire point. They have turned away from these truths and spend their time arguing and talking foolishly. They want to be known as teachers of the law of Moses, but they don't know what they are talking about, even though they seem so confident.
Okay, go ahead. King James now.
But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind.
Now that's homosexuality and lesbianism. That's defiling themselves among mankind. Women with women, men with men. Okay, then what?
For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine.
Okay, now going to my exhortation here.
We know these laws are good when they are used as God intended, but they were not made for people who do that which is right. They are made
The law is not made for people that do, that follow the Lord. All right? Go ahead. They do the right thing. Follow the Lord. Then what?
They are made for people who are disobedient and rebellious.
To the Lord. Then what?
Who are ungodly and sinful. Those who consider nothing to be sacred and defile that which is holy. Those who murder their fathers and mothers. Manslayers of others.
Yeah, and also manslayers of everybody else, all right? Not just your mother and father. Then what?
These laws are for those who are sexually immoral, for homosexuals, for those who defile themselves with mankind, like lesbians, and kidnappers, for liars and oath breakers.
That's men stealers as kidnappers, right?
Yes.
And the government was condoning that, you know, the deprogramming where you could go and kidnap somebody because they go to a certain church. Then what?
For liars and oath breakers, and for those who do anything that contradicts the true teachings of God.
And then King James. I mark each one of the scriptures that I'm paralleling so you can see it very easily, right?
Right.
You know when to quit?
Yes. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
Okay. Never mind.
This teaching comes from the glorious good news entrusted to me by our blessed God. Thankfulness for God's mercy. How thankful I am to Christ Jesus our Lord for considering me trustworthy and for appointing me to serve him, even though I used to be a scoffer of the name of Christ. I hunted down his people, harming them in every way I could. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and in unbelief.
And James.
And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus.
Okay, read by now because I don't say grace.
Oh, how kind and powerful the Lord was.
Right, powerful. Right?
Amen.
Then what?
He filled me completely with faith and the love of Christ Jesus.
Okay.
And King James. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
I am the worst of them all. And the Lord did this so that all the other people could know that me being the worst, if God will forgive them, me, then he will forgive the worst of the other sinners. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting.
Okay, now on.
This is a true saying, and everyone should believe it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I was the worst of them all. But that is why God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life.
Okay, King James.
Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
Okay, now.
Glory and honor to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Responsibility. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they give you the confidence to fight excellently in the Lord's battles. Hold on to faith tightly and keep a clear conscience. For some Christians have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, the faith they once had has been wrecked, ruined, shipwrecked. Hymenaeus and Alexander are two examples of this. I turned them over to Satan so they would learn not to blaspheme God.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo again, and this has been the first chapter of 1 Timothy, and we're going to do chapter 2, Lord willing, for you tomorrow. Till then, God bless you. Amen.